All right, here we go on this Friday, March the 4th, 2016. Mr. Tom Fairbanks is engineering and producing our show, and he'll also be selecting our bumper, our intermission music. And I understand today our 60s rock and roll, not 60s, but rock and roll Friday, you've got Steely Dan.
Yes, sir, by request.
Very good, very good. Hey, a big shout-out, Tom, to Al Velasquez, who is at my home right now. He's resurfacing the kitchen cabinets, and he's got the show on all the trucks, very loud, outside my home. So I'm sure everybody in the neighborhood is enjoying the Buckmaster Show. Al, thank you for the work you're doing so far. From what I saw this morning, you did fantastic job resurfacing our, well, the home was built in the late 50s, and they just don't make a lot of this stuff, Chuck Huckleberry, like they used to.
That's correct.
I mean, the real wood. I mean, yeah.
It's plastic wood.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Chuck Huckleberry is here. Mr. Huckleberry is the Pima County Administrator. He is our Friday Focus guest. And, of course, Dan Scheer joining me. Dan is editor of the Sahorita Sun and Green Valley News. Dan, have you had any kitchen work done lately? Are you okay on that?
No, you know, we're actually been in our house 7 years, and it's 7 years old, so we're starting to think about some changes.
Oh, okay. So it's still a new home. Ours was built in the late 50s. It's in an area of Fletcher Caida. Mr. Huckleberry, you know that area very well.
I know it well. I hope the radios aren't up too loud or we get zoning complaints.
There you go, yeah. But that area, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've been in this town a long time. That was kind of one of the first foothill communities, wasn't it?
Central Foothills? Yes, it was. Fletcher Caida Estates was probably developed in the 50s and 60s along with the early Catalina foothills.
The Buckmaster Show wants to do a big thank you to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Mr. Shears, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and Emil Franzi's organization, Southern Arizona News Examiner, all have our show prominently. There's a link there to get to the Buckmaster Show. If you would like to call Mr. Huckleberry and make have a question, a comment, suggestion, 790-2040. That's our live line number. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Our Twitter is at Buckmaster Show. Mr. Huckleberry, a formal good morning or good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about these valuations. We're talking about Fletcher Caida. I know everyone in the county's probably been getting their county property evaluations.
Correct.
This week.
The assessors are required every year to send out new valuations to property taxpayers. And what it is, it's a notice that says, here's his value of your property based on market conditions and what has occurred. And it now has a couple of factors, is that it may have a number that talks about what the market value is, but it's also going to have a value, it's called taxable value. Because of Proposition 117 a couple of years ago, the taxable value of a property can never increase by more than 5% a year. And so if your market value has gone up, for example, 12% in that particular year, your taxable value can only go up 5% based on a constitutional amendment.
All right, let's go to the live line because Tom has called, and Tom, on this subject, has a question about property taxes. Tom called us at 790-2040. Tom, go ahead. Hello, Tom.
House in Tucson. Do you expect my property taxes this year to be increased more than 6%?
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Tom, it's what happens is your property tax bill contains about many different taxing jurisdictions. I can tell you the county property tax bill will not go up 6%. It'll probably not go up at all this year, that the budget year we're working on for next year. So I would expect your county taxes to be absolutely stable.
All right, here's Dan Scheer.
Now that things have calmed down after the bond failure actually in November, the question I'm getting the most these days is, are we going to go for another bond this year? Is the county going to do that?
Dan, I have not heard anyone really speak about it. The board hasn't talked about it. We're having our first bond advisory committee meeting next Friday, and my guess is that subject will come up, but I cannot foresee the possibility, at least at the planning stage now, that we would go for another bond issue in 2016. It's probably going to be 17, 18, or even later.
Is that the first meeting since the election?
Yes, it'll be the first meeting, and it's they're required to have two meetings a year where it's really monitoring what's occurring with regard to implementation and then just future planning.
So you kind of get a gauge on what they're thinking in wake of all of this.
Correct. Next Friday, we'll probably have a 2 or 3 hour meeting with them and find out where they'd like to go.
Okay, there would have been some money in that bond for the Canoa Ranch, historic Canoa Ranch, south of Green Valley, and that wasn't happening, but people are still excited about it and pushing forward. I want to give a plug to an event on March 19th.
And I'm going to be there.
Okay, go ahead and tell us a little bit about it.
It's the tree event, I believe.
That's right.
The entryway, the historic entryway was lined with trees, and so what this event is really trying to raise funds to reestablish that historic component of Canoa Ranch. So Dan's probably got a lot more information than I know, but I know I'm going to be there.
What kind of trees?
Gosh. You know what? GVnews.com put the story up today. It's a type of tree, actually, that I'd never heard of before.
But that was like the
original. It's almost like an evergreen. It's a little bit cross between a cypress and a cottonwood, I think.
Yeah, they're beautiful. But that event is March 19th. And again, we do have more information on our website about it. And, of course, the county would also. But we do want to give that a plug. There are a lot of people who are disappointed with the bond failure because of that ranch. And they think that it is, a potential real gem for Southern Arizona.
It is a real up-and-coming facility down there that started off with, and we're still investing in it on an annual operating basis and making improvements and doing those kind of things, but it will become a very what I call exclusive tourism attraction feature in the Green Valley area.
Mr. Huckleberry is with us, Chuck Huckleberry, 790-2040. As you are very well know, there's a very vocal group of people who I guess are counting the days until you announce your retirement. This is a group of people who blame you for the majority of pretty much everything that's wrong with Pima County. What do you say to those people that are listening right now?
Well, they need to have more than their fingers and toes to count, because I have a contract with the Board of Supervisors, and it expires in January of 2017, and I intend to fulfill that contract. And really, it's up to the board whether or not they extend another contract offer. I basically have contracts that go in 4-year segments, and so I can never have an employment contract longer than the term of the existing board. And it's purely their decision.
Would you accept it if they extended?
We talk about it. You know, I'm to the point of where it's time to I'm getting close to the retirement age. Don't need to. Don't really want to. But it's something obviously would be a point of consideration.
But when they do say you're what's wrong with Pima County, how do you respond?
Well, you just ask about facts. What are the facts? And I've not heard a single fact yet that I've been responsible for. I think what people need to do is get into a rational discussion about what Pima County is, where we've been, where we're going.
If they hit a pothole, Chuck Huckleberry is to blame.
What the policies are. We accept that. You know, we have a maintenance responsibility, but there then are explanations that talk about why our roads are in the condition they're in. Partly is because we had a very aggressive capital campaign to expand and build new roads, and partly because the state of Arizona has diverted, and again this year, $100 million of highway user revenue fund. And the fact that nobody's increased revenues for transportation in 25 years may have something to do with it as well.
Here's Dan Scheer.
I want to go down to Canoa Preserve Park, which is Green Valley's first public park. We have phase one completed. This is a park that Chuck Catino was the driving force behind. I know that there is a recent agreement between the county and Baja Sports that is going to put restrooms there, and they actually think that the restrooms are going to drive more interest in it. How does a project like that, which again was on the bond and didn't get that money, how do they get phase two done, which could include a couple more ball fields, a dog park, other things like that? What's the next step for projects like that where they don't want to give up on them?
Well, I think they're a very supportive group in Green Valley, and we appreciate their work. And I think it just need to kind of continue to attract and to go after things that are available. We have community development block grant funding that possibly could be used. We have other sources of revenue other than just bonds. It means it's usually a lot slower. But it's not unusual. I mean, we have built parks over the years in you know, 5 and 6 phases. You know, we're still making improvements to Rito Park, and we started its first conversion to public park as opposed to horse racing back almost 20 years ago. And it was had another phase in this bond issue that went south. But that doesn't mean it's not a good idea, and it means that sooner or later there'll be another bond issue, and my guess, all the good ideas will reappear, and you can try and get it funded that way. In the meantime, just keep looking and keep moving a piece at a time, and any improvement's better than no improvement.
And Rito, how are they doing?
Rito's doing fine. I mean, it's becoming a true multi-use park. If you look at it, they're running horse racing the last month and this month. The farmer's market basically fills the parking lot every time they have a farmer's market. They try and clear out by about noon, and then horse racing takes over. If you've been by where they're having a soccer tournament, you got to remember, Rito Park has 11 soccer fields now, and the next largest number of soccer fields is down at the Keno Sports Complex. The third most number is sitting out at the park at Udall. And so it is the most attractive park for soccer sports, and it's very actively used.
All right, let's take our break right now, 12:16. This is the Buckmaster Show. That's my name, Bill Buckmaster. It's AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. I was reading something yesterday, Mr. Tom Fairbanks, that it is unbelievable how many people now are listening to AM radio over the internet. So live streaming is certainly the future, certainly of AM radio.
Well, not only that, but a lot of people have just gone directly to the internet and are providing
That's right.
talk shows, music shows, without bothering to go to the FCC and get a license for a transmitter. Just go to the internet.
Well, we do have a license with the FCC, and this show will continue after we take some break here and listen to a little music from Steely Dan. This is their first big hit, Ricky, Don't Lose That Number.
You kinda scared yourself.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Rock and Roll Friday bumper music, Steely Dan. And speaking of Dan, Dan Shear is here from the Green Valley News, Sahurita Sun, Chuck Huckleberry, Pima County Administrator. Dan, before we go to the calls, and we've got two folks waiting, I do want to cover Rosemont. So you want to bring that up here before we go to the calls?
Yeah, I met yesterday actually with a couple of HUD Bay representatives, and we know that their fourth quarter earnings came out, or their report, I should say, and there was a lot of speculation that they might not necessarily be backing off on the mine, but slowing things down. And I just said, okay, just, you know, kind of lay it out for me. And we went over the report and everything. And, you know, their revenue, their operating cash flow is up year over year. And really, they're doing what any mining company would do in a situation where the copper prices are so low. It's that they're not going to push forward with construction on the mine site, maybe as aggressively as they had originally planned. Doesn't mean they're backing off, doesn't mean they don't have confidence in it. It just means that common sense tells you, why pull it out of the ground and get $2 for it when you could be getting more if you just wait? So really, they're kind of doing what Freeport-McMoRan is doing, except Freeport, in their production cutting, had to lay off 1,000 people, or is in the process of doing that. So it really makes sense what they're doing.
I think I agree. I mean, when you look at the companies that are involved in commodities products, when the commodity prices are down, that's the time when they basically consolidate, retrench, rethink, recapitalize. And so I think that's exactly what's happening.
The Freeport, the economic implications, what do you see of that closure?
Well, Freeport initially was, discussed as a partial closure, partial shutdown. Then it went to a full closure or cessation of operations. Then it went back to 75%, and we've heard now recently it's back to about 50%. So it's not as severe as possible. Our one-stop folks have been basically holding numerous meetings with the potential individuals being laid off, trying to get them reemployed in new jobs and trying to basically soften that impact. And so it all depends on the price of molybdenum with regard to Sierrita property. And I think it's come back a little bit. So I think that we hope that the closure or the shutdown or slowdown will not be as severe as first thought.
Okay, Matthew is – no, not – Josh will be first. Matthew, hang on. Josh, go ahead. You're with Chuck Huckleberry.
Morning, gentlemen. Or afternoon at this point. Yeah, I'm going to tell you the famous – the easiest way I can say this is you talk about the priorities of the legislature cut money out of Pima County. And that's kind of where we get fed up as we look at the priorities that we see Pima County putting money on. You know, you just mentioned Rosemont, suing Rosemont, parks, this and that. Well, we're really cared about roads and public safety. My little case in point, something that I see every morning, are the little signs you put up that flash your speed limit all off Ina and down First. What's the point of those, and how many potholes would those have filled instead of putting them up there?
Okay, thanks, Josh.
Well, the speed advisory signs comes from a highway safety grant from the state of Arizona, and you can't spend that money on potholes. And very often, that's exactly what we've done by segregating funding and requiring funding to be spent in certain areas. It ties local government's hands, and that comes from the state. It comes from the federal government. And so in that respect, the example you use is perfect because those signs come from a highway safety program, and frankly, they cannot be spent on pothole repair.
So it's not an either-or situation.
No, it's not. And it's the whole issue of, you know, if you get into fund accounting. You know, you can't take wastewater money and use it to fill potholes. You can't take you know, other restricted money like HERF money and go build a park with it. So
the highway user money.
Highway user.
Okay,
yes.
Matthew, now it's your turn. Go ahead.
Yeah, Chuck, structurally, we're Pima County, you know, funds itself differently than Maricopa County in the sense that they've broken off parts of their budget that we and rely on a hybrid of taxes, including sales tax. We rely solely on property taxes. Can the county's budget, given the realities of, you know, just the size of it and the growth prospects for Tucson and the surrounding areas, really support just one single payer coming for property taxes? And can property taxes can property owners afford to fund alone the budget the way it is? Is there a way we can restructure our budget, maybe not like exactly like Maricopa, but taking some examples from them? Thank you. Bye.
Sure, Matthew. You've hit the nail on the head of everything that I've been trying to do is diversify our revenue source, because you're right. We rely solely on property taxes, and that's why our property tax rate's the highest in the state. I have long advocated for diversity, meaning using sales taxes just like Maricopa County does. Maricopa County uses a sales tax to support their jail. We use property taxes. We should be using sales taxes for that purpose. I've proposed long ago that we take a half-cent sales tax and reduce our property tax. If we did that, it would reduce our property tax by 20 to 25% right instantaneously. And so I absolutely agree we need to diversify that revenue source, get away from property tax. And one of the things that prevents us is we need some tools, and those tools come from the state legislature. And if we had the right number of tools, we could do exactly what you say. If I had the tool that would allow me to shift my hospital expenses out of my what we call primary budget into the secondary, just like Maricopa County did, I could reduce property taxes another $15 million. So Yes, I think you're exactly right, and that's where we need to go, and that's where I keep stressing is diversity of revenues, increase the sales taxes, use those solely for the purpose of reducing property taxes. Don't add any more, you know, government. People get real excited about that. But let's reduce our property tax intelligently.
We had a caller mention the roads. What is going on to, is there a new plan, a new strategy to fix the roads in Pima County?
The plan that I've suggested, because I obviously our bonding plan didn't work, and so we're kind of out of answers, so we can't get the legislature to increase the gas tax. One of the things we suggested is have the RTA be given the authority to have another election for a half-cent sales tax, use that solely for the purpose of road repair, limit it to 10 years alone, distribute the money by population, which means lion's share of it goes to the city of Tucson and the county gets 36%. That alone over a 10-year period would generate $800 to $900 million. And when we then look at the distribution, that's enough to fix all of the county roads, including all the roads in Green Valley, and well, all the city roads, and you get to start fresh again with a clean slate. Then the tax expires in 10 years. So that's been proposed. We've suggested it. It's in the legislative agenda, I believe, of the Regional Transportation Authority and PAG. It's in our legislative agenda. Just need the legislature to act on it to give us the tools to at least ask the voters to be able to fix our roads.
All right, that's going to do it. 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Huckleberry, thank you for coming in. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
All right, our Friday roundtable is coming up. After the mid-break, we'll be going to Phoenix to the Capitol. Capitol Times editor Jim Small will be joining us, and Dan Scheer and I will be asking Jim some questions about the legislature and some of these hotly contested races that are developing for the legislature. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They're one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with. It's amazing how they can set up the entire U of A mall with tents, tables, and chairs everywhere in such a short period of time. It's impressive how Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Thanks, Bruce. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Take a page from the Tucson Festival of Books. With our vast selection of tents, tables, chairs, linens, and over 50,000 items in stock, we have event solutions for any occasion. Visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. Kind of rock and roll Friday with our bumper music today from Steely Dan. We started off making it a 60s kind of music thing, but then I realized, hey, we're just really limiting some great music like Steely Dan, which came along early 70s, mid 70s, when they really got their music going. Jim Small is with us. Mr. Small is the editor of the Capital Times based up in Phoenix. He is on the live line from Phoenix. He is our guest contributor today to the Friday Roundtable. Dan Shear is here as well from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing real well. We had State Representative Chris Ackerley on the show yesterday, and I asked the representative, what difference does he see in this session? And he said it seems like it's a little slower than last year. And after all, the budget hasn't really come to the forefront yet, has it? Are you kind of getting that feeling?
Yeah, it's definitely slower. I mean, to put things in perspective, on this day last year, they were doing the budget.
Wow.
So, you know, just in terms of a sheer date issue, I mean, I think we're still a couple of days away technically from calendar day. But, I mean, you know, this was the weekend when the budget got done last year. So they are definitely moving at a slower pace than they were a year ago. That's not at all surprising. Last year's pace was breakneck and was the fastest that had been seen since the, I want to say it was like the early or the late 60s, since like 67 or 68. So the fact that things are taking a little bit longer this year, not a surprise. You know, budget talks are happening between the House leaders and the Senate leaders and the governor's office, but so far all of those have been behind closed doors. Nothing's come out publicly yet, and they haven't even gotten to a point yet where they're ready to really start taking proposals and ideas to the rank and file members.
So you would think at least another month for this session.
Oh, for the session, absolutely. I'd say at least another month. You know, it all depends. The end of session always hinges on when the budget gets done. So
right. It's
certainly possible they could get a budget done in the next couple weeks. And if that's the case, then you know, you're looking at, you know, probably another 2 weeks, maybe 10 days to close down the session. So that would put you at the end of the month. Or it could take longer than that. You know, a lot of people's best guess has been right around that middle of April time. If they get out that, I think it's like the 15th or the 16th.
Okay.
Now that puts them at right around the 100-day mark, a little bit short of that 100-day mark, and that's typically the goal for a session.
Here's Dan Scheer.
Hey, Jim. We've been hearing that there might be a push to end early because Andy Biggs and David Gowan, two legislators, are running for Congress. Is their bids going to have, and I'm assuming a desire to get out on the campaign trail, is that going to have any effect on the session?
It could. I think the person who it behooves the most to get out of session early of those two is probably David Gowan, just because his congressional district is not near the state capitol, and it's not near a lot of things, and it's near everything all at once. It's a district the size of Iowa.
Yeah, it's massive.
That goes all the way from Marana and Saddlebrook up to Maricopa and around the valley up to Four Corners and over toward the Grand Canyon area. So it takes up a whole bunch of space in the state. Andy Biggs being so new into the congressional race, I think you could make an argument, and I know some people have kind of postulated that it might be actually in his better interest for the session to slow down a little bit, because that allows him to use the power of his presidency in order to kind of help his campaign get off to a good start.
Were you surprised that
David Gowan was able to do, back in October and November when he first got in?
Were you surprised that Kirk Adams didn't jump in District 5?
I was, I was just as surprised that it looks like the Matt Salmon people really worked hard to box Kirk out and make sure that he couldn't get in. They immediately lined up a successor. And they basically went and contracted with a firm run by Kirk Adams' old campaign manager, or his old consultant, to run the campaign. So they took a lot of steps to really kind of hem Kirk into a corner and put him in a position where it made running for that office, running for that seat, more than just kind of a simple, do I want to do it? Yeah, I want to do it. Let's go do it.
Go ahead, Dan.
And how does, walk us through this. This is kind of a behind the curtain type of a situation that the Republicans must have been talking about all, there's several half dozen names easily that could have come up for that District 5 seat. But how did the discussions go when we're deciding or they're deciding who is going to be kind of handpicked, which is really what Andy Biggs ended up being?
Well, handpicked by Matt Salmon. And I think that's, it's an important distinction. I fully expect there's going to be a primary here. I think that there's going to be next week. I bet we see a member of the State House, Justin Olson. I think he's going to be getting in the race here real soon. He's already told his fellow House Republicans that he was expected to be the next Speaker of the House, and he's already told them he's no longer going to run for Speaker because he's probably going to run for Congress. So he's going to get in that race. There's another state representative named Kelly Townsend who might be getting into that race. There are a couple of other folks who have strong ties to kind of the municipal world, Republicans who potentially could get into that race. State Senator Bob Worsley is still looking at getting into that race. And that's not even to mention the fact that there's probably a wealthy business executive or two out there who are kind of looking at their chances and going, I bet if there's four or five people running that I can come in there and I can give my campaign $1 million and we can maybe make a run at this thing. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. My guess is there'll probably be anywhere between three and five people running for the seat at the end of the day. It'll be tough for anybody. I mean, certainly Andy Biggs is someone who has the backing of the incumbent. He has a fairly high profile by being Senate president, and he's definitely prominent within conservative circles. But at the same time, he's made a lot of enemies, in the municipal world, in the school, the public education world. There's certainly no shortage of people who I think would like to check the anybody but Andy Biggs box on the ballot.
How about the Trump factor? I think Republicans are going to be asked, are you voting for Donald Trump? We're already seeing the Democrats use that. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, well, we've been asking people that. We asked Andy Biggs that, in fact, earlier this week, and his answer was akin to what John McCain said earlier, which is, I don't know who I'm going to vote for, but I'll vote for, at the end of the day, I'll vote for whoever the nominee is, and I'll support that person. It's certainly a valid question, I think, especially as we see this real unprecedented, at least in modern history, civil war breaking out in the Republicans, and this real high-profile Republicans who are coming out and denouncing Donald Trump, I mean, I think it's certainly a valid question for every Republican candidate to face.
And Senator Flake has said he would not be voting for Trump, or has he said that? Is he that affirmative about it, or was it just that he's having second thoughts of not supporting him?
You know what? I have not seen Senator Flake's statement, to be honest with you. So I don't know exactly what
it was. It's interesting because I had Senator McCain on the show last week, and as we know, Senator McCain has a primary coming up with former State Senator Kelly Ward, and McCain at that point was still saying, yes, I will support the nominee. And then yesterday, when Mitt Romney had his speech really tearing into Trump and saying that he couldn't support Trump, you saw McCain saying, yeah, I pretty much agree with everything that Mitt Romney just said. Kind of interesting dynamic there.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, McCain said that. He put out that statement basically saying that Republicans need to be careful who they're supporting and indicating that he is not supporting Trump right now. But then he didn't ever say in that statement that he wouldn't support him if he was the nominee. And he even went on radio here in the Valley late yesterday afternoon and said, well, of course I'll support him if he's the nominee. So, you know, he doesn't like Trump. He doesn't want him to be the nominee, but I think he is... he's going to support him. He's going to support whoever the Republican nominee is. And that was basically what his message was.
Here's Dan Scheer.
Prop 123, the state land trust dollars going toward education. Have you seen any polling on it or any sense of which way this may go when it goes before voters in May?
Have not seen any polling directly on the issue. My guess is it'll probably have a pretty good tailwind. It's got a lot of support. Got support from the business community. Got support from the education community. I think it's beginning to get reluctant support from a lot of Democrats, the folks who had spoken out against it or even voted against it when it was in the legislature. But I think that a lot of those people are starting to come around and adopt a position of, okay, it's not what we wanted. It's probably not what we deserve. But if the options are this or nothing, let's take this, and then let's work moving forward, trying to get additional money into the classrooms as opposed to continuing to fight about things that happened 5, 6, 7 years ago.
How about this move that would, in effect, take away the voters' power with initiatives? Is that moving through the legislature still? I had heard about it a couple of weeks ago. Haven't heard anything lately.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the current status of it is, but that, I mean, that's a tough sell. It's the legislature can certainly act on that kind of legislation and can approve it, and they can do everything they want to it. But at the end of the day, that kind of change needs to be made by the people. And so you're basically asking the people, hey, we want you to take away your power. We think you have too much power, and you should give it to us. Voters in Arizona may be tough to predict in a lot of ways, but I don't think it's too tough to predict that Arizona voters would have a very dim view of such a request of them.
JTED funding, the governor was willing to restore $10 million of $30 that was cut last year, but was convinced to restore $28 million. How was he convinced to come around on that?
That was really due to the fact that you had just about every single legislator who wanted to restore that money. There was, when the governor, even before the governor put out his budget proposal, we were hearing that there was near unanimous support for restoring the JTED funds, that the intention was essentially that the effect of that cut was going to be far more dramatic and far more punitive than legislators had thought at the time that they made the cut. They didn't realize exactly what they were doing until after they'd already done it. And so when the governor put out his budget, I think everyone expected to see a JTED, frankly, to see a JTED restoration in there. It was something that had been called for by the State Chamber of Commerce, by the Phoenix Chamber, but basically every business group across the state was saying, we need this. Give this money back. This is actually an example of really good, efficient government spending because it translates directly into jobs, into well-trained workers, which is, you know, one of the things that the school system should be doing. And so when the governor's budget came out and it only had that $10 million grant program, I think it left a lot of people scratching their heads, and at the same time, I think it really lit a fire underneath the legislators that, okay, the governor is not going to do this unless we demonstrate, kind of give them a show of force. And that's what they essentially did. You know, I mean, the original bill had, I think, 75 or 76 co-sponsors out of 90, you know, and they were able to really demonstrate that they had very broad support over this program, and the governor's office balked at it, but ultimately I think relented and realized that they didn't have much choice, that the bill was going to land on its desk one way or the other, and they really didn't want to be responsible, I don't think, for vetoing that kind of a bill.
So it wasn't necessarily that he supported the JTED funding, putting it all back in there, but he was in essence trying to avoid an embarrassing misstep.
I think that he would have been very, you wouldn't have gotten any kind of qualm about putting that money back had it been done in the context of a larger budget. That was one of the things that we'd heard early on, was that there was an attempt to use that as leverage, basically. Use that JTED funding as leverage to pass a complete budget proposal. And this would have been a month ago. I mean, so you talk about how you know, the budget last year got done this time. I mean, if we were a month ago, I mean, that would have been an unprecedentedly early budget. And that the governor's office had essentially told lawmakers, okay, we'll go ahead and give you this $30 million, but then you've got to go ahead and pass the budget that I proposed, the rest of the budget that I proposed. And lawmakers weren't willing to do that. And so they basically decided, okay, we're going to go ahead and we're just going to send this bill up to the governor, and we'll put the onus on him, and he's going to have to decide what he wants to do.
All right, Jim, I've only got about a minute left. CD1, Congressional District 1, one of the largest districts probably in the United States, going from the suburbs here of northern Tucson all the way up to past Flagstaff. We've got how many Republicans in that race? That's 6 or 7, don't we? Very crowded.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, right now, that I think the main ones, you've got David Gowan, Ken Bennett, Gary Keeney, Wendy Rogers, Paul Babiou, Sean Redd from the Navajo Reservation. Now, there's 6 right there. I'm hearing that next week you'll get another one. Carlisle Begay, the state senator who was a Democrat and late last year turned into a re-registered Republican, he's going to be getting into that race imminently. So there's 7 people right there. So that's a lot of people.
Jim, thank you very much for spending some time with us. I hope you have a great weekend. Jim Small.
Thanks so much.
All right. Jim Small is the editor of the Capital Times up in Phoenix. Dan, that is really going to be a crowded. Anything can happen when you get 6, 7, 8 candidates.
And actually, among all these Republicans, you have quite a lot of diversity there.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
All right, Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. But right now, our bump music, Hey 19, Steely Dan. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Ackerstrom, plus our monthly visit with former U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI with live streaming, podcasts, and our show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Ah, that music signaling the weekend. Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist and award-winning publicist Matt Russell, brought to us by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, the arts community, historic community of Silver City, only 3 hours east of Tucson, and you can enjoy a delightful weekend at some really nice places to stay in the area, like Bear Mountain Lodge or Pinos Altos Cabins. So many things to do, including exploring the Gila National Wilderness. Great time of year over in one of the most beautiful parts of the Southwest United States, Silver City and Grant County. SouthwestNewMexico.org. That's the website. And now to the live line and our Weekend Watch host, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well, inching very close to happy hour on this Friday, Bill.
Well, noontime, when Friday noon, when we hear Matt Russell, we think, well, happy hour, it's begun. Where
it
can
really
we
has.
Go?
And yep. I say whenever a new restaurant opens, it's the perfect place to kick off the weekend. The second location of Trident Grill just opened up in Plaza Palomino, and early reports suggest it'll be a new Midtown favorite for the burgers and the wings and the beers that we've all come to love at their original location near the U of A. Now, you can choose from a wide spectrum of suds, which are going to be necessary for cooling you down after those signature habanero jerk wings. If that doesn't get you happy, Bill, nothing will. So we'll see you at Trident 2 today for happy hour.
We are so delighted to have Janos Wilder and his team. The new Carriage House is one of our proud Buckmaster sponsors.
Yeah, your listeners know all about it. The brand new concept called the Carriage House. Special event space just east of Janos's downtown kitchen, serving as the new home for his world-famous cooking classes. And tomorrow at 11 a.m., Janos and his chef Devin Sanner are going to be hosting a dim sum cooking class featuring tips and techniques for making pork and shrimp shawmai, veggie spring rolls, bang bang chicken, and other staples. And you'll enjoy nibbling along on what promises to be a delicious afternoon at the Carriage House.
What's going on at La Paloma?
Yeah, fans of Latin American cuisine are rejoicing today for this week's reopening of Contigo, that great restaurant that unfortunately closed last year for what we all thought was for good, but they're back and better than ever in their new space at La Paloma with all their favorite dishes like the ceviches, the paellas, and my personal pick, the bacon-wrapped dates stuffed with chorizo. You could take a virtual trip to Brazil this weekend at Contigo.
What can we look for in the column this week?
Well, Bill, I recounted my dinner at the White House nearly 20 years ago with
what?
The Prime Minister of Ireland. Yes, it was an amazing experience. And that got me thinking about St. Patrick's Day and the food that goes along with it. So the countdown is on, and it's almost time to get your green on in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
We will look for it. Thank you so much, Matt. Have a great spring weekend.
Right back to you, Bill. Thanks.
Well, you know, we do 6 hours of local talk here Monday through Friday on KVOI, but I want to talk a little bit about our weekend lineup. We got a great lineup, lots of great weekend shows here. We're very, very big believers in localism here at Good News Communications. Wide variety of programs. Charles Heller with the old Swap Shop Trains a-comin' every morning, Sunday morning, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And Charles does such a great job with that program. And of course, it's a full lineup, all sorts of expert talk right here on KVOI. The Buckmaster Show. It is a presentation of my company, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our entire team here at KVOI, these people do such a great job, including station managers Doug and Mary Martin, our operations manager and my producer Monday through Thursday is Ray Allen, Tom Fairbanks, my guy on Fridays, Jerry Cross, the best production guy in the country, does such a great job. And of course, Ed Alexander, producing the morning shows. So on behalf of also Rosemary Brandt, my executive assistant, we all wish you a safe and wonderful weekend.